الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous session, we spoke about the verse وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And under this verse, we mentioned and we analyzed the trajectory of the spiritual journey of our elders and the path that it normally follows. And just one or two points remaining from there. According to some Mufassirin, this verse also relates, as well as relating to a spiritual perspective, this verse also relates to the worldly perspective of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When in the early days of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims in general, they did not have that much wealth. And mostly they were in a position of poverty. And as opposed to the later stages of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Islam developed and spread, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victories to the Muslim, to the Muslim nation. And the Muslims were enriched with wealth as the wealth poured into Madinatul Munawwara. So some of us have also explained this. And one last point, the ascetics, they mentioned with regards to spiritual journeys, that generally a spiritual journey of a person from when he is born to when he passes away consists of two parts. The first part is known as Al-Uruj ilallah. Al-Uruj ilallah. And the second part is known as Al-Nuzul minallah. The first part, generally what happens during the first part of this journey is that the individual who is on the journey, the salik, he disconnects himself from mankind, from other creation completely. And he is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And he does not interact or does not speak to or does not have relationships with other people. This is possible that this part of the journey can be referred or can be referenced to the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the cave of Hira and he would go into isolation. And he would not speak to anybody, he would not interact with anybody, he would just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the second part of this journey, the second part of this journey consists of the individual having now gained proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a slight disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reason for this is that now this individual has been tasked with reconnecting with mankind so that he can call them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can begin his task of da'wah ila Allah. And so what happens is, as opposed to the early part of this journey when there is zero connection with mankind, there is complete and utter solitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in order for the individual to be able to now call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there has to be a slight disconnect. And this disconnect is with the hukam and the commandment and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now this person is able to start calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ascetics, they mention that this experience of this slight disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which allows the individual to start calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this causes the individual a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain. This having this slight disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I mentioned this, it also seems to explain other ahadith that I have mentioned before, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, that the ones who experience the most difficulty and the most strenuous testing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Imam al-Mursaleen, Sayyid al-Anbiya, he is the leader of all the anbiya alayhim salam. There is an underlying insinuation here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also then be subsequently be the one that experiences the most difficulty. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma udhiyat ahadun mithla ma udhitu, that no single individual has been through as much difficulty that I have been through. So in this narration, there's an explicit mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who experienced the most difficulty. Now a question here arises that there were anbiya alayhim salam previously who seemingly endured worse than this. For example, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, he was murdered. Yeah? And other anbiya alayhim salam, Banu Israel murdered many anbiya alayhim salam. So their difficulties went to the point where they were actually murdered. And there were other anbiya alayhim salam who seemingly experienced more difficult things. So what does this mean? So the answer this lies in this explanation. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. That actually this difficulty is referring to the spiritual aspect of this. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to giving da'wah, when he came to calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was of the highest ability. And he did it most effectively in just 23 years of his life. We see the effect of 23 years of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today Islam has spread all over the world and the number of the Muslims has reached more than 2 billion. Whereas previously other anbiya alayhi wa sallam, they would call people for many more years. But the people that accepted Islam were very less. So in order for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have this ability, to have this ability to call people and to be of that caliber of da'is, to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disconnect that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced was of the highest degree. And this seems to explain these verses and these prophetic traditions. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And soon, and most certainly soon, your Lord will give you فَتَرْضَى, so you will become pleased, you will be happy. Now, the ulama explain that one of the primary purposes of this surah is to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contentment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not abandoned you. And the reason, and there seems to be a connection between that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath upon and the rest of the surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon the day and the night. And the message, مَا بَيْنَ السُّطُورِ, the message in between the lines here is that we see the night, it follows the day, and the day follows the night. But this changing of light to dark and dark to light does not at all reflect the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that if it's a sunny day, then Allah is happy. And if it's a dark, wintry day, then Allah is angry. It doesn't mean that if it's nighttime, then Allah is angry. And if it's daytime, Allah is happy. It's nothing like that. Rather, when it's sunny, we get happy. And that's it. So the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that just like the night and the day do not reflect the anger and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way the delay of wahy, the delay of revelation also does not reflect any anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, If na'udhu billah, this was to be true, those who have claimed this to be true, for example, the enemies of Islam, it was a blasphemous accusation. The reason being is this accusation elucidates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if na'udhu billah min dhalik, if Rasulullah sallallahu, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to be angry, there would have to be something that the Prophet ﷺ did wrong for Allah to be angry. And this whole scenario would then elucidate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his picking, in his choosing Rasulullah ﷺ to be the Prophet, na'udhu billah, there is this accusation that or this inference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got it wrong. Wa na'udhu billah, this is impossible. This is completely impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot get anything wrong. And second of all, Allah subhanahu, how can the choosing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take this role be wrong? There is also that issue with this claim of the disbelievers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such blasphemous utterances. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Another point that we learn from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, soon your Lord will give you. But Allah does not mention what He will give. So the verse is generic. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had initially mentioned specific things, then it would dispel or it would cancel out the possibility of more than that what was mentioned. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and soon Allah will give you wisdom, then it would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not including anything else, and that is the limit to the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the message is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it generic, which So the genericness of the verse tends to take any limits out of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a source of even more happiness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like if a king says to somebody that I am going to give you a car. So, okay, it's a car, there's happiness there, but there's a limit to this happiness because the car is limited. But if the king was to say that, oh Muhammad, I am going to give you, and that's it, now there's no limit to this happiness because there's no limit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned over here. And of course, what generally the ulama have mentioned, that the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are those things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deeply, deeply desired. These things included the development and the spread of Islam, the fulfillment of the needs of the ummah, victory against the enemy, and i'la'u kalimatillah, the elevation of the name of Allah subhanahu and the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah has mentioned this hadith. He says that after hearing this verse, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى وَوَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ. إِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى وَوَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ. You look at the kindness and the care and the shafqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Look how much my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he cared about us and he worried about us. He said, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then I will not be happy so long as one of my ummatis are in the Jahannam hellfire. In one hadith, on the authority of Ali karamallahu wajhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, أَشْفَعُ لِأُمَّتِي حَتَّى يُنَادِينِ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَرَضِيْتَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ فَأَقُولُ نَعَمْ رَبِّي رَضِيْتُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says in one hadith, narrated by Imam Tabrani rahimahullah, he says that I will intercede for my ummah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you happy? And then I will say, na'am, yes, ya Rabbi, I am happy. In another hadith, Imam Muslim rahimahullah has narrated on the authority of Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was reciting certain verses. He says he recited the verse in which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَن عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, whoever follows me, they will be part of me. Whoever disobeys me, ya Allah, you are the forgiving, you are the merciful. And then in another verse, the Isa alayhi salam said, إِن تُعَذِبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. That, ya Allah, if you punish your servants, they are your servants. What can I say? فَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ وَقَالَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his hands and he said, اللهم أمتي أمتي, O Allah, my ummah, my ummah. O Allah, my ummah, my ummah, وَبَكَى. And my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to weep. Look at the worry and concern that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for us. Who are we? Who are we and who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are nothing. We are nothing. Our value is less than an iota of anything, of any piece of matter existing in the universe. And who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is the greatest of all kind, mankind. He is the greatest of all creation. He is the one with the highest status. He is the chosen one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, when he raises his hands, who is he worried about? Allahumma ummati, ummati. Oh Allah, my ummah, my ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to Jibreel alayhi salam, اذهب إلى محمد وربك عالم فسأله ما يبكي. He says, oh Jibreel, go to Muhammad and ask him, what is making you cry? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew exactly what was making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. فأتى جبريل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأل فأخبره فقال الله تعالى لجبريل اذهب إلى محمد فقل له. He says, جبريل عليه السلام he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks him that, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is making you cry? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to him that it is my ummah, my worry for the ummah that is making me cry. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to Jibreel alayhi salam that go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say to him, Inna Allah yaqulu lak, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to you, Inna sanurdhika fi ummatika wala nasu'uk. Ya Rasulullah, tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to you that we will make you happy with regards to your ummah. We will make you happy with regards to your ummah. So some ulama have also mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, this is also connected to this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will make you happy with regards to your ummah. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown victories that was going to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to bless the ummah with. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became happy with this. In one narration, the victories Allah subhanahu uri an nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fath al-sham wa fath al-yaman wa fath al-maghrib wa fariha bidhalik, that various conquests and victories were shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became happy. Now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generically mentions his favor and the things that he was going to, that the fact that he was going to bless Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the next few verses, in the next three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to specify certain favors upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you as an orphan? And so fa'awa, and so he gave you shelter. So what does this mean? We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father Abdullah passed away before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And Abdullah had not left much wealth for Amina, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet we find that when Hada Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha came to Mecca with a group of women, initially nobody wanted to go to Amina, because often when there was a widow, there was less chance of them getting much wealth from such situations and from such contracts and agreements. However, when the Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha did not find anybody, eventually she opted to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so like this, from the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes arrangements for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be taken care of. So initially, in the care of Hadrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Thereafter, upon her return, after the death of Bibi Amina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes into the care of his uncle, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And thereafter, at the age of 8, when the grandfather Abdul Muttalib passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then taken care of by his uncle Abu Talib. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are an orphan, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still took care of you. You were not abandoned. Also, we understand from other ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put such love in the hearts of Abdul Muttalib and in the heart of Abu Talib, that they loved and they cared for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more than their own children. In one narration he says that Abdul Muttalib, he was considered to be the leader of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so in the shade of the Kaaba, he had a special place that only Abdul Muttalib could sit there. And nobody else was allowed to sit in this place, not even the sons of Abdul Muttalib. However, when our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and sat in this place, then Abdul Muttalib would not say anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into their hearts to a point where their degree of care was beyond that of any other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of this favor. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you not knowing, so he guided you. Now normally, this word ضال, the word ضال can have many meanings. Often, it is used to describe a person who is astray. But of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never astray. Here the meaning is of not having the knowledge. And the verse is indicating to the time before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before the Sharia was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a Nabi, and he had revealed the Quran and the Sunnah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the time we mentioned earlier, that the time before the revelation of the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the knowledge of the Quran. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with the knowledge of the Quran. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is also one other narration that has been mentioned, although it does not seem to be the most common. This narration has been mentioned by Qadi Sanaullah Panipati rahimahullah in his tafsir of Mazhari. He says, the narration narrated by Hazrat Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahimahullah, that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were traveling on a trade journey, on a business trip with Abu Talib, when shaitan took hold of the camel rope of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and changed his route. However, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and scared shaitan away and rerouted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is possibility that this is also comes under this verse. However, as I mentioned, it's not the most famous of explanations for this surah, for this verse. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And then in the third favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And he found you in need, so he made you self-sufficient. In the early days of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have much wealth. However, soon after, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha made a contract with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in Arabic is known as mudaraba, where she gave wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on a business trip to trade, and then with this wealth Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha found that there was great barakah and blessings in the Prophet that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made. And due to the mudaraba, due to the business transaction, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now became into possession of some wealth. This is the first stage. Thereafter, after the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, says Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha went and spent all of her wealth on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many scholars have mentioned that this is the insinuation here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the wealth of Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it is known that Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, through her business skills, she was a very, very wealthy woman. Now in the last few verses, time is up now, but in the last few verses, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again follows the trend, where whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a favor upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or upon the ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commands for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the wider ummah to be thankful and to do shukr for these blessings. Often the way to be thankful for these favors is by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in the final three verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay away from certain actions and to also do certain actions. Inshallah, there is more explanation that is attached to this, which will take some time. So inshallah, maybe next week or the week after, we will continue with this. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the true knowledge of the Quran. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from making mistakes and from committing sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us true love for the Holy Quran and true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and true love for the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Ulama and the Salaf. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi ajma'een. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.